Today is Mother's Day in the United States. In other parts of the world, that's celebrated at other times, but it doesn't matter when it's celebrated. It's a very important part of practice to appreciate the efforts of all beings that make it possible for us to live, to function, to practice, to serve others. And in one way, mothers are the most important for those, because without mothers, without mothers' efforts of all the months that we are fetuses inside our mother, without their bodhisattva actions, then we would not have the opportunity of life and all that comes with that. As some of you know, I've in recent weeks been helping care for my newborn granddaughter, Naomi Evie Ishani is her name. Naomi Evie Ishani Aurora, that's her name. Anyway, we call her Evie. And she just turned 3 months old yesterday. So it's very interesting. So in the past month, I've been with a two-month-old going to 3 months old and living a life of caring for someone who can't speak, but whose needs and demands are often expressed very vocally and in a very demanding, loud, immediate way, which, of course, I and others need to interpret. When I've had it alone for several hours, there would be demands, crying at certain points when she needed to be fed. Of course, I wasn't sure it was needed to be fed, but I got to be able to hear, what does it mean, crying that can be alleviated and satisfied with being fed? What is being sleepy and needing not to be fed, but needing to be alleviated by being soothed so that she can fall asleep and maybe be put down? What is the kind of upset when there's a need for a diaper change, whether because of wetness or other things? What is needing to be alleviated by being burped and soothed in other ways? It is a full-time, all-the-time effort and labor. So it reminded me of a story about Hakuin Zenji. Hakuin Akaku Zenji, some of you might know, a great Zen master in the 17th century in Japan, considered the revitalizer of Rinzai Zen in Japan. There's a story about Hakuin Zenji that in the village that he lived, probably when he was early in his practice or in his teaching, or early in his teaching and serving as a priest of a temple, in that village, there was a young teenager who became pregnant, who wasn't married, and her parents were quite upset, and they put pressure on her, beseeched her, so on and so forth. She gave birth to a child, and they demanded to know who the father was. And She said, Hakuin. Hakuin? What kind of priest is he? They went to Hakuin with the baby and the mother of the baby. The father went. I don't know if it was both parents, doesn't make a difference. They went to Hakuin and complained how you could do this thing to our young daughter. You're a priest. What are you doing? You take the baby. Please, you take care of her. It's your job. So Hakuin said, ah, is that so? And he took the baby. Hakuin cared for the baby for a period of time. It's not clear how long. However, that struck me. How did Hakuin take care of a month-old baby, maybe a month and a half, maybe 2 weeks? Obviously, he couldn't nurse her. Did he have a cow for milk? I don't know that they're that common in Japan, certainly not in Japanese temples. How did he care for her throughout the day? Did he have an assistant who would do it? I don't know. The story doesn't elaborate on that, but somehow or other, he took care of that infant round the clock. You don't get to sleep through the night. The baby wakes up every 2-3 hours needing to be fed or needing to be soothed or needing who knows what. So what did Hakuin do? How did he take care of the temple and his practice? And maybe he had disciples. I don't know. At that point, he might have been a lone temple priest. You don't hear of Hakuin complaining about it. Interesting. So after a period of time, maybe several months, the girl went to her parents and admitted that the father of the child was this other man in the village, and they went together with the parents to Hakuin and apologized profusely. How could they have accused him? And the whole village had accused him because all of a sudden he ceased to get much in the way of donations and temple attendance dropped off. People considered him a disgraced monk, priest, a day, a week, a month. How many months? We don't know. Nevertheless, at that point, Hakuin was there with the baby, caring for the baby, and the parents were there and apologized, and the girl apologized, and the father of the child apologized, and then said, we want the baby back, and Hakuin said, is that so? He gave the baby back. And that was the end of the story. Very interesting. I'd never thought of the details of what Hakuin did. When people accuse us, oh, is that so? As opposed to all sorts of other things we could do, counter-accuse them, blame them, defend ourselves. When we feel offended by someone, how quickly do we jump into all sorts of habits of self-justification, self-righteousness, blame? Blame is an important thing to notice, especially if we carry it along for days, weeks, months, years. Blame of, well, to start with, our parents, they didn't do it right. Our father didn't do it right. Our mother was good. Our mother didn't do it right. Our father was good. Our teachers were terrible. Oh, all those terrible teachers we had in school, whatever kind of school we went to, ordinary public school, religious school, the rabbis, the nuns, for those who went to Catholic school, the priests, oh, all those. And do we hold that anger, blame for a long time? How long do we hold blame about things that people did to us or didn't do to us in the past, our colleagues, our bosses? And how long do we keep expressing it in different ways? about them or about other people now. Notice Hakuin simply says, is that so? Is that so? Now, of course, in Zen practice, we, at every meal, when we do formal meals, we appreciate our parents, appreciate all the efforts that our parents made. Without parents, none of us would have life. None of us would have practice opportunities, no matter how, quote, good or bad our parents were. They did their best. Notice Hakuin didn't say, oh, that girl was terrible for accusing me, etc., etc. He didn't complain to the parents for having left the child with him for all those years. Not least not in the story. Those years, those months, those days, who knows how long? We don't know. See, this is our practice of appreciating the many efforts that make possible our life. That's what Mother's Day is about. But it's not a particular day. In fact, as I said, every meal we appreciate the many efforts of parents, teachers, all sorts of beings that made possible our life right now. That's what our practice is, being able to appreciate our life, which means appreciate the myriad beings that make possible and are part of our life. Our life isn't something that I have, me, separate. If that's the kind of practice we have, if that's the kind of view we have, then we're stuck in endless suffering and harming and blaming and causing harm. That's the self-centeredness that we become caught up in. So, Mother's Day is a practice reminder. Mother's Day is a support for us to appreciate all beings, all efforts, this whole universe that comes together as our life. So I'll close with a statement. Whenever we talked about Mother's Day events with my mother would say, every day is Mother's Day. Thank you.